Coordination compounds, module 5 of 6. In this module, we learn about the crystal field theory. Let's go to its assumptions. The crystal field theory states that the interaction between the metal ion and the ligands are purely electrostatic, that means they are ionic in nature. The ligands are regarded as point charges, that means if the ligand is negatively charged, it has an ion-ion interaction with the metal, and if it is a neutral ligand, it will have an ion-dipole interaction with the metal ion. The electrons on the metal face repulsion with the electrons on the approaching ligands. And the electrons on metal occupy those d orbitals that are farthest away from the direction of the approach of ligands. We know there are 5 d orbitals. Out of that, 2 d orbitals, that is dz square and dx square minus y square, are aligned along the axis, whereas dxz, yz and xy are between the axis. Let's see what happens when the ligands approach a metal ion. So long as the ligands are not there, the 5d orbitals in an isolated gaseous metal are degenerate. That means all the d orbitals are having the same energy. Now, when the ligands approach, these d orbitals face repulsion between the negative charges of the ligands and the electrons in the d orbitals, thus raising the energy of all the 5 d orbitals to a higher level. Now let's see the d orbitals again. We have dz square and dx square minus y square. They form the EG set, whereas the 3d orbital dzx, dyz and dxy are assigned to the t2g set. In an octahedral field, you can see that all the ligands approach the central metal atom along the axis. As it approaches along the axis, the d orbitals, which are aligned along the axis, face repulsion and are raised to a higher level, whereas the other three are lowered down. Now, we can see the splitting of d orbitals, that is, the 5d orbitals are having the same energy. When the ligands approach, the energy increases and they split into two sets, that is the EG and the T2G set. Now, what is the delta O? Delta O is the difference in energy between EG and T2G. This is called a crystal field splitting energy in octahedral complexes. This depends on the nature of ligands, it depends on the charge on the metal ion, and it also depends whether metal is in the 3D, 4D or 5D series. Now, certain ligands are strong to split the EG and T2G apart, having a greater delta O value, whereas some ligands are able to split it only to a lesser value. All these ligands have been arranged in an order such that the lowest crystal field splitting ligand is placed first and the highest crystal field splitting ligand is kept the last. That is in the increasing order of strength. This series is called the spectrochemical series. As you can see in the series, iodide ion is at the lower part, whereas carbonyl, carbon monoxide, is at the top part. This shows that carbon monoxide is a very strong ligand, whereas iodide ion is a weak ligand. Now, the effect of ligands on splitting, you can see two complexes here, hexa aqua chromium 3 ion and hexa cyanido chromium 2 ion. When the ligand is water, that is H2O, it's a weak ligand, the splitting is very less, whereas when the ligand is cyanide, even though central metal atom is the same, we have a greater splitting. Similarly, you can see the electrons being arranged. Both are a D4 configuration case. And in this case, we can see in case of water, the fourth electron, instead of getting paired, goes to the EG level because the energy level difference is less, whereas in the case where there are cyanide ions, the fourth electron tends to pair up rather than going into the EG level because the crystal field splitting is very high. Now, suppose we take a case of Mn2+, which is a d5 configuration, then we know that all the phi orbitals are singly paired according to Hund's rule. Suppose the ligand is water with Mn2+ ion. In the d5 configuration, we can see that it is first singly filled in T2g and the fourth electron goes into Eg because the E pairing is greater than the crystal field splitting energy. But when the ligand is cyanide, the pairing energy becomes less than the crystal field splitting energy, and hence the electron tend to pair in T2g rather than going into the Eg level. Now let's see the tetrahedral field complex. Here, in a tetrahedral field, the ligands approach between the axes, hence the 3D orbitals that belongs to the T2g set, they face repulsion and are raised to a higher energy level compared to the Eg. Here, the difference or the splitting is less compared to octahedral field. Delta T is always less than delta O. Now, since the pairing energy will always be higher than the crystal field splitting in tetrahedral complexes, there will be very rare cases of low spin tetrahedral complexes. All the tetrahedral complexes are found to be of high spin. As you can see in the tetrahedral complexes, the ligands are approaching between the axes x, y, and z, and hence the T2g is raised. In case of square planar complexes, this T2g and Eg are split further again. Okay, let's come to the color in complexes. Okay, the transition metals give color because of the presence of ligands. That means if some visible spectrum is being removed from the white light as it passes through the sample, so the light that emerges is no more longer white and you get a colored complex. Now, the color of the complex is complementary to that which is absorbed. The complementary color is the color generated from the wavelength that is left over. For example, if green light is absorbed by a complex, it will appear red. From this wheel, you can see that if yellow color or light is absorbed, then it will appear violet. Let's take the example of a complex of titanium, hexa-aqua titanium 3+ ion. This contains a D1 configuration case where we have only one electron and that is in T2g. When white light is gone through it, we can see that it absorbs the yellow and green light. When it comes back, it emits radiation other than the yellow and green light, and therefore it appears to be purple in color. This concept is used in the gemstones or the colored stones, which contain different D block ions, or transition metal ions, present between the other ions in the gemstone, and due to which they give their colors. Certain complexes to be colored, the condition should be that at least there should be a vacant space for the electron to be excited from one D to another D. Hence, the reason for color and transition complexes is due to DD transition. In case of copper 2+, which is a D9 configuration, it is colored because it has one vacant space in the EG set. Electron can excite to that place. But in case of zinc 2+, it is a D10 configuration. There is no space for the electron to be excited. Hence, there is no DD transition, because of which we see that the zinc complexes are always colorless or white. Let's see what are the limitations of CFT. Definitely, the crystal field model was successful in explaining the formation, structure, color, magnetic properties. As you can see, that if there are unpaired electrons, they are paramagnetic. And if they are paired up, then it is diamagnetic. And now we know why they are getting paired up. However, for the assumptions that the ligands are point charges, there is a problem over here. In that case, anionic ligands should exert a greater splitting effect. Because it is negatively charged, it will face more repulsion. But it was found that neutral compound carbon monoxide is at the top of the series. How is this so? Further, it does not take into account the covalent character between the ligand and the atom. Now, all these cases were later on explained by the molecular orbital theory, which is beyond the scope of our syllabus.